Real topics. Real discussions. Real hope. This is the Spit Happens Podcast. Hello, all of you beautiful ears of planet Earth. This is episode one of the Spit Happens Podcast. We're your hosts, Tim.
And Brandon.
And this week, we're going to jump in a little bit on a blog that Brandon wrote. And it was focused on individualism and kind of how it creates so many issues that we have going on now, both, you know, here in this country, around the world. And I guess when we dive kind of, what was it like while you're writing this article? Kind of how'd you feel? I know your words come across pretty well there in the black and white, but what is it for you that really kind of drove it as far as that article with what's going on? I know you've been real passionate this past week.
Well, I started a blog series, and so I wrote two different articles that related to the same kind of thing. So it all started with mowing my grass and listening to a podcast of a guy talking about culture and Christianity and how we have an obligation to speak about the injustices of the world and how we have an obligation to speak out when just wickedness is prevailing. So the whole idea is that if you look back to our, just even in the 20th century of American history, you see the pervasiveness of individualism growing, especially in the 60s, as the sexual revolution started to happen. And you can see that kind of correlating with Roe versus Wade and the boom of abortion in our country. And if you think about these kinds of things, I talked about abortion, and then I talked about kids who are orphans, and that's kind of related to individualism, especially in America. It's hard for me to really speak on the cultural causations of other countries because I don't live there. But if you look at abortion especially, and even kids who are growing up as orphans, a lot of it stems from this individualistic ideal or a mindset that we have in our culture today, to where I have elevated myself to be God. In other words, there's no absolute truth beyond what is absolute for me. And so while I would say there is no absolute truth, in the same right, I would say this is what is right for me. And so it may not be right for you, but it is right for me. And so this idea that for us as Christians to say abortion or anything else is wrong is actually an offense to other people because of this idea of individualism, because they have, and many of us, even in the church, have done this, and we just do it in more subtle ways. We have elevated ourselves to the place of the throne of God, and we only listen to ourselves. So this is why you see abortion running rampant in our culture, because it's based on this idea that what I say goes. I'm the master of my own body, and this little damn child, who we would call a fetus to make us feel better about our decision, is just a nuisance, and I'm going to get rid of it because it's hindering on my plans. If you think about abortion and a lot of the other issues we face in our culture, it all stems from individualism. And that's not to say individual rights are bad things, but if we would think about these things and just consider the implications of what it looks like to have more people putting themselves on the throne, this is what we have to deal with. And this is the same thing that we talked about last week with the whole transgender thing and the restrooms. My biology does not tell me who I am. My feelings do. Like, I have the right to identify as something I am not. Right?
Yeah.
And so in no time, we're going to be at places where people, and I think we already are, you could Google this, people are identifying as themselves as animals. Like, I'm not a human, I am a lion or something like that.
Right.
But it's all based in individualism. And it's a problem, because it leads to these kinds of things.
Absolutely. And then you look at that next progression then. And so, okay, so if I identify as an animal, and then what, now we're going to start legalizing bestiality, or we're looking, right. You're looking basically just trying the cause and the effect, or trying to change,
because it's
change
all
the
based,
course.
It's all based on what makes me happy.
Right. Me. And
yes,
you doesn't matter. And
right.
It's,
if you think about the problem of pornography, it's all based on the satisfaction and the gratification of self. And it's at the expense of someone else, right. Where
as
a person, I'm using this other person as a tool. And because I'm only concerned about me, that person can be used for that.
Yeah. I mean, nobody goes to porn websites with saying, oh, I'm just making sure that they get a good paycheck.
Right. I'm going to be selfless today and go to the porn website.
I'm investing in their future.
Right. No one does that.
It's not for my pleasure. It's for their future. But how many people would walk out there and go have a conversation with a porn star, male or female, to actually invest in their future and help get them out of that life?
XXXChurch.com. XXXChurch.com. Be careful how you type that.
Yeah, be very careful. We'll add that one into the show notes because it's a great tool and a great resource, and it's helped a lot of people.
We should probably make a note of that so that we remember to add it to the show notes.
Yes. Sorry for you out there who actually look for the show notes. Sometimes we get busy with our daily lives. No pun intended there with the pornography talk, but we do get busy with our daily lives, and we can forget sometimes to put the show notes in there.
Totally. And I can even take it a little step further. With orphans and the just like there's 400,000 kids in America who are in the foster care system. 100,000 of those kids are up for adoption. 30,000 kids every single year mature out of the foster care system without a family. And so if you think about that, and you think about what causes a lot of times these kids to be in the foster system, it stems from individualism. It stems from parents who either they die, which that's not it's not like selfish, no. Right?
Right.
But or it could be
if it has to do with
it's
overdose.
Like an overdose, because
which we've actually had happen. We'll tie that up in our news segment.
Sure. One. Because here's what happens: I'm in it for my high. I'm in it for my my good feeling, whatever it is. And I'm going to, no matter what the cost, I'm going to go get that. And then more and more kids end up orphans because their parents have decided to choose themselves rather than to deny themselves and parent their kids. Yeah.
And there's even a dark side to the belief of you're actually doing something better for the child. Where you think, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to be a good parent. I'm not fit. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And then you can actually end up setting yourself up for an entire life of lies where you live this lie of like, well, I gave you up for you. And, you know, where you actually turn it around and saying, well, it was all for you, even though I did it for me, I knew I wouldn't be a good parent. And then you live the parent that gives up sometimes can live an entire life where they say, no, you see what I did for you. And then it starts on that one lie, and then the lies build and they build and they build and they build. And it's where it becomes where it's like, well, I tried to do everything I could, but I knew I couldn't, and I knew I couldn't this. And sometimes, yeah, that may be true. Things do happen. But it literally becomes a tree that just branches out, and it can go one way or another. And it can be full of so many different directions, so many different lies. It all starts with one little thing. What's the seed that's planted? Is it good soil or is it bad soil? What's going to happen there in that moment? And then it leads on to further things. And that's where those are the type of people that they mature out of foster homes and things like that. That's sort of the porn industry thrives for employment, is they feed on that opportunity
to
exploit their lives. Yeah.
The brokenness of the people who are involved. Yeah.
And then it's mind blowing. I mean,
it's absolutely destructive.
Yeah. And man, cause you can make a choice to change your life. You can come from brokenness and it's possible. And there's one man, one God, that makes that possible.
Mm.
And it's amazing that uplifting moment.
Did you see that meme?
I, just couldn't believe my eyes.
It hurt.
It rocked my world.
It felt so good.
It changed my life.
I shared it.
I liked it.
Then people loved it. What's up with that meme?
All right, folks. So that is our new cut-in segment there of What's Up With That Meme. So for those of you who have been following us for a little while...
This is new.
This is new, but also a little bit nostalgic because I tend to throw out there while Brandon's talking, oh, I saw this meme that ties into that. So we just decided to go ahead and make it famous, the whole little segment. So I did, actually. I just found another meme while I was scrolling through here. I thought it was kind of funny because I deal with this in my house. Every time I go to a shower, get a shower, there's never a towel. And yeah. Like, I get in and I'm like, open the door and I'm like, can somebody give me a towel? So this meme has got a little frog. And these memes are going to be posted up. I think we're going to share them on Twitter. We'll have them in.
We'll put them up there. And maybe even we'll add a few to the show notes, the best ones.
Yeah. So this one here, though, it's a picture of a frog. And it just says, a towel can't be dirty. Only ever touches my clean skin. So it's like, I know, it's pretty simple and stupid. But you look at it, it's like, it's kind of thought-provoking. How can my towel ever get dirty if my body's always clean and all it's doing is water?
I have to think about that one for a while.
But then I kind of think about, like...
That'll blow your mind.
But it just kind of... It tends to mold over time. It gets a stank. That's true. It gets a stank about it.
It does, because of the moisture.
Yeah, it just kind of... Especially if you don't... if any of you guys watch New Girl, so Schmidt's so got this good. Thing. So Schmidt... So all the girls come in and... So when she comes in and then Schmidt, they all have this way of hanging their towels. And it's actually, I think, the way we hang them. Mm-hmm. But it just hangs on a little hook and it folds over itself and it never really fully dries. So like she changes it so they hang the towels all flat and Schmidt's all coming in like, what is this? That's changes. Is that how it should be? And then like, he gets his towel. He's like, I want my towel damp and slightly moist. I don't want it to be all dry and warm and cozy. And so it's like the moment of realization, like, that's kind of nasty. So the towel drying, but yeah, it's kind of funny.
So if you're wondering how to hang a towel, hang it so it's flat
and not folding over itself.
Exactly. You will walk away from this podcast learning something.
Yeah. Look at that.
There we go.
All right. So the other meme that carried through the week was, I said this one to Brandon. It just made me laugh because sometimes you just go, yep. But it's
so good.
If someone asks, what would Jesus do? Remind them that turning over tables and breaking out whips is a possibility.
That's hardcore, man.
That is real hardcore.
What would Jesus do? He may just get a whip and start chasing people out the door.
Yeah. So
he may just act a fool.
A fool. So next time you're at that family engagement and you guys are all playing Monopoly and you just straight up get tired of it and flip it.
There you go. Just make sure you have a whip.
Yeah. Just break out the whip and be like,
I'm done. I didn't get Boardwalk.
We ain't doing this stuff in my dad's house. This is a family reunion. And just flip your tables because we all going to do Monopoly. It just takes forever unless you play the kids' version. And then it's like,
I'm going to ignore. I didn't hear that.
I have dry mouth. I need to get some water. All right. Back on track. Bring it back in. So flipping the table. Because you play the kids' version. And it's just like, it's less money. And once one person is out of money, the game's over. It doesn't just keep going forever.
Yeah, that's the problem with Monopoly. Like, it just lasts forever. You would have to really, like, set aside a whole day to get through it. Especially if you have some competitive people. They will just not, they just won't lose.
No.
I mean,
they won't lose. They care forever about themselves. It's all about themselves.
It's all
they
about the individualism.
Money. Going so back about, right to that.
All about the money.
Look at that rolling around.
All about
around.
The money.
You all pass go. Money. $200. Give me it.
So in light of individualism, since we went through the meme thing, and it relates, totally relates.
Bam.
Somehow. I saw a video on YouTube, and many of you may have seen it. It was kind of going through Facebook as well. Maybe that's where I saw it. But... it was a video of a guy interviewing some college students and asking them, in light of this whole transgender thing, if, you know, what would you say if I said I was a woman? And the one chick says, oh, good for you. Like, that's what I would say. Good for you. And that's great, right? Here's one of the things. And then
honestly, that might be my response. Like, good for you.
But here's another thing. He says, he's like a 5'9" white guy, okay? And he's asking these college students, yeah, what would you say if I said I was a tall Asian woman? A tall Asian woman. Like a 6'6" Asian woman. And he said, what would you say if I said that's who I believe I am? And the one chick said, well, I would say good for you. But here's the problem, okay? The problem comes in when someone says, you believe you're a 6'6" Asian woman. No, you're not. People get mad when someone says, well, you're not that, so you shouldn't identify as that because it's just wrong. Like, you're not that. That's just not who you are. So the response, the correct response in light of all this, should be good for you. Good for you. You don't agree with me. Good for you. But guess what the answer never is? Good for you. So this is the whole idea of tolerance and intolerance. People say Christians are intolerant all the time. Why? Because we stand for absolute truth. We stand for a truth that is beyond ourselves, our individual selves, and that it pervades everyone. So what we're saying is this truth actually confronts you in your life. And not just you in your life, but every single person in this world. So in order for us to be tolerant, we need to also be tolerant of those who are intolerant of what we believe about a certain thing. But guess what? You'll never see that. Why? Because someone who preaches tolerance will only be tolerant to the extent in which you are tolerant of them. And to me, that's a double standard. And to me, mm-hmm, that is pervasive, or that is really just representative of the individualism that we have in our world, in our society, of this idea that what is true for me can be true for me and you shouldn't question me about it.
Right.
But what does that do? Think about what this does to our justice system, individualism. If this pervades into our justice system, what we will eventually say is that, you know, it was not murder. I felt I had to do it. So what are you going to say to someone who says they felt they had to do it? Maybe they did. Should they be held responsible for that? If you say yes, then you are making an absolute truth claim. And that is a problem in these times.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah. So what do we do about that? I don't know. Other than continue to be pushed up against or confronted with opposition, and that's okay. Christian, don't freak out. It's all good. You need to stand for absolute truth. But yeah, you can say good for you. But you know what? When you disagree with them, they should also say good for you.
Right? Agreed.
Amen.
Yeah, it comes to a point where you can't have the open-ended discussion unless you actually deep down know somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, there's like that point where you go out and you're out in public, somebody just randomly, you have a conversation with somebody, you're in waiting somewhere. They almost ultimately always end up in fights, arguments, or even now, I mean, people just pull guns or knives. I mean, they just straight up attack each other. And there is no more of the back and forth dialogue where you eventually walk away with some type of either disagreement or just finding a profound respect for the other person of saying, hey, I'm glad you stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's different. Actually, it's so funny. Because I don't know. I'll talk about that later on. I don't know. It might not be. Now is not the right setting.
Well, one of the things that I had an idea of a while ago of having a website called like Roundtable Magazine or something, yeah, where we would. Because I know I went to school with a few people who very liberal in their politics and even in their theology, and my idea was to kind of exhibit how we could honor Jesus, because we are all trying to honor Jesus, how we could honor Christ in disagreeing with one another, and actually have a conversation about difficult things, but to not have it be escalated to insults.
Yeah, that's That's good to not have them come and hit as far as Hey, look at that timing.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, what's going on, Brandon?
Did you hear about that one thing?
What one thing?
The thing, you know, on the news.
Oh, the news thing.
Yeah. Did you hear about it?
Yeah, we should talk about it.
Let's do it.
Bring it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even really say right now how perfect that timing was as I was scrolling through the news on my computer and I turned it around to Brandon and his eyes got wide, mine got wide, and we were looking at it. And then this is our news segment talking about the news. And lo and behold, joining forces are Ted Cruz and John Kasich are going to join forces to stop and block Donald Trump from gaining all 1,237 delegates needed to gain the GOP nomination. That's massive news. What do you think of that, Brandon? Because I've stepped back a little bit this year because I got so burned out.
Yeah.
I was really involved in the last election. This election, I've already gotten kind of burned out and I spaced a bit. But you've stayed pretty much on point with it, you know, up until the last couple of weeks when you've been busy with pastoral duties. But what are your thoughts? What do you think? What do you got on that?
Well, it's about time. It's right? About time one of these guys unite together to. So, okay, so there's this hashtag Never Trump thing coming around. Yeah. I'm a Never Trump guy. Let's just get that out of there.
Right.
It's out in the open. Never Trump. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my angst with Trump. We talked about just now having a conversation with someone you disagree with without insulting them. Having the maturity to actually have that kind of a conversation.
Look at the blend of these topics. Fantastic. Man,
it's almost like it was pre-planned, but it wasn't. That's an amazing thing. The dude reminds me more of my almost three-year-old daughter and how she handles her emotions sometimes than he does of a presidential candidate.
Yeah. He just
to me,
lets
that's
him fly,
a problem.
Period.
Yeah. And some people think that that's like an honorable thing to just, oh, well, he says it like it is. Does
right.
he really? Does he really? Does he say like what? Say it like what? What is it? Like saying like it is. Is that something that we want to have as an honorable thing to strive for? I don't think so. I mean, it's one thing to not be politically correct and actually say what's on your mind. But it's another thing to act like an obnoxious fool.
Right.
But, okay, so the news is that Ted Cruz and John Kasich have joined forces to stop Trump. So
basically what it says here is Cruz is going to be focusing on Indiana, and Kasich is going to be devoting all of his efforts on Oregon and New Mexico. So it's looking at blocking Trump from getting all the delegates going to a contested convention.
So I'm kind of curious because we just saw this news come up.
Yeah. So we don't
this
have
is
a lot
in
of
real time.
This is breaking news on the spot.
Indeed. So I'm kind of curious as how this would work. I know that their goal is to get it to a convention. So Kasich's chief strategist, John Weaver, said in a separate statement, he said this, and I quote, due to the fact that the Indiana primary is a winner-take-all statewide and by congressional district, keeping Trump from winning a plurality in Indiana is critical to keeping him under 1,237 bound delegates before Cleveland. We are very comfortable with our delegate position in Indiana already, and given the current dynamics of the primary there, we will shift our campaign's resources west and give the Cruz campaign a clear path in Indiana. So I wonder if this is something that is like really happening kind of like in an official way, or if it's just the fact that they are working together. I think that's what it is, the latter of what I just said.
Well, it says within minutes of each other, the pair issued statements saying they would divide their efforts in upcoming contests.
Okay.
So they literally said within minutes, like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, so basically it seems as though they are going to...
They've joined without joining.
Yeah, they're going to focus on the states that they have a chance of winning.
Right.
And the other person, whoever that is, you know, whether Cruz is leading in Indiana, which it seems like that's what's going to happen, Kasich is going to concede to Cruz in Indiana and just not even spend any time there encouraging people, if they were going to vote for Kasich,
right,
vote for Cruz. That's interesting.
I find it really interesting that Cruz is more ahead in Indiana, and Kasich is more ahead down in New Mexico, which is would almost be more of Cruz territory, and Indiana would be more of Kasich territory,
you
given
think.
Texas and Ohio. But that's odd. Oregon, I can see more of Kasich. It's just,
sure.
It fits there. The businessman, all that, that just fits up there in the Pacific Northwest. So, wow, look at that. That was perfect the way it dropped in. So, all you out there listening, get in on it, and there you go. Breaking news for the first time ever on the Spit Happens podcast. So,
boom.
Bam. I do want to get in there a little bit. Prayers for families here in Ohio. Not literally, I mean, we're talking 18 minutes down the main road here. Not far at all from our homes here. 8 members of a family were slain. And actually, I was starting to read that article when this
Did they ever
popped
catch
up.
That guy?
I don't think so. He's at large. They don't know how many. I guess this was 2 minutes ago. So this rolled across just before. But I guess there's something about marijuana being grown at the sites and things. And this was maybe been premeditated. So that has come across here. It all may have been premeditated. It might have been drug related. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate.
You want to explain what happened?
So, yeah, I want to get back into that. So there was... 8 members of a family that were slain on their property just a few days ago here down the road from where Brandon and I live.
In Claremont County,
Ohio. Yeah, in Claremont County, Ohio.
Just east of Cincinnati.
I don't like reading them about it and talking about it a whole lot, but I want to make sure people send out prayers if they're listening to this as well because there was a mother next to her four-month-old? I think it was four day old. I mean, it was young, baby, newborn, murdered. And then there was, I think, a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old. And, you know, I've got a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old. You know, Brandon's got an almost 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. So it hits our hearts heavy. But the kids were spared, but the rest of the family was slain. So I guess there's a lot more things coming out, but the person may still be at large. Don't know anything on that yet, but. For those listeners out there, just send prayers up to the families here. It sucks anytime you see anything like this. It's just, it's sad and it sucks. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Everybody makes bad choices and everything else. And to see something like this happen, it's individualism. It's selfish. It's somebody wanting to take care of their own business. They want and sever life from this earth. That's not part of God's plan because everything isn't part of his plan. No, it's not part of God's plan. Somebody going out and just executing an entire family. You can go on and chalk that one up on the enemy and you better believe that there's going to be prayers out for that. And yeah, I just, it hurts and it angers at the same time.
Yeah. A scripture that keeps coming to mind as we're talking about this is, I can't remember the reference, but it's God saying, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. So in the context of don't repay evil for evil, but understand that God's got this. He's got the wrath for the person who does things like this.
Right. It's Romans 12:19.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... I don't know those times, because then you almost look at things individually too. You look at the way you feel, and you want to take vengeance. Like you want to be like, I want to find him, and I want to do that. You know, and it's
skills.
It's a battleground. You know what I mean? I mean, it is. It's a personal moral battleground when you want to take justice in your own hands, and
it's taken skills. I will find you, and I will kill you. It's the whole idea. You think about Hollywood. I mean, this is what we are fed all the time is revenge. Many movies, especially action ones or dramas, are fed by revenge.
Yeah.
And so if we are not careful, we give in to that easily. So even in light of this, we must pray for the families and pray for the person who did it.
Absolutely.
Because the hurt people. I mean, I don't know what he's going through, but... It's heinous.
Absolutely heinous.
And now, coming in the red corner, it's Dad. And over here in the green corner, it's the kids. This is Dad's Corner, and the match is about to begin. Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, I don't know what I can say about these things just kind of falling into place. So all of these segments are brand new. We recorded them prior to doing this podcast. They were absolutely, all of these were one recording, one take.
They're pretty epic.
Let's
just be honest.
Yeah, they are epic.
If you don't think so, Brandon, at least we think so.
Yeah, we think so. We must have.
We just threw these in here.
We don't have individual belief that we're just awesome.
We have a communal.
It's communal. So we're good. We made sure we covered ourselves on that one. Just now.
For sure.
Hey, look at that. Another thing on the spot. But yeah, these are all straight up on the spot. And they're falling in tonight.
So Dad's Corner.
Dad's Corner. That's this new little segment here that we're doing at the end. So for you dads out there, soon to be dads, those who want to be dads,
this is what you have to look forward to.
For the men who have stepped up,
yeah,
and taking care of other men's children as your own, kudos to you.
Amen.
This is about the funny and the ridiculous,
and what you have to expect,
and what you have to expect.
Don't have kids yet.
Yeah,
and what you already know if you do.
So, today, so Brandon and his family were over. We were getting ready to have dinner, and so his daughter is potty training, and
she's killing it, man.
Yeah, she's
killing it.
She's doing awesome. She's doing really good. It's
super excited.
All right, so she's potty training. Well, our son, Tony and I's son, he's just a little bit younger than Kyrea, and he's got a potty, and he'll do it from time to time. Well, he decided he wanted his potty.
Yep, because Kyrea brought hers in.
Yep, she brought hers over, and he wanted to show off, too. So he...
This was awesome, by the way.
So we're in the kitchen getting ready to prepare plates, and, you know, we're going to go outside and eat. Here comes Eli with the potty that he had just used not long ago, and it had a little bit of water in it just to show there's water in the potty. And now there's water all over the kitchen floor.
Yep.
With urine in it.
Oh, yeah. Urine water.
And poor little Eli, man. He was barefoot.
Yep. Rolling around in it.
So he evidently has the water skiing skills of our pastor. And he was slipping all over the kitchen and sliding and spinning in circles. And I can't help you. At that point, you can't help but like be kind of grossed out and laugh at the same time because you can't do anything about it. And two, it's freaking funny.
Oh yeah. It's hilarious.
So we're getting ready to try to prepare plates and there's just like urine water all over the floor. So thanks.
It was total sanitary eating situation.
Yeah. The food was nowhere near it. So
that's true.
We were good on that point. But yeah, so we got the mop, we cleaned it out, but it was really funny. We cleaned up Eli, and we were set to go for dinner, which is a pretty good dinner that my wife made. She's awesome.
It was good. But it was very good.
It was so funny. It was awesome.
Yeah. So I found out that I got my man card revoked today.
Yeah.
By Kenny, our lead pastor at the Crossing.
Water skiing white hype right there, man.
Yeah, yeah. So he found out that because I requested a vacation day, because I wanted to do this three day method for potty training.
A little backstory too. There was a first try at it.
Yeah, this was our second try with potty training. It didn't take the first time.
Yeah.
So I did the 3 day method again, and Sarah, my wife, she decided that she wanted to go to a bunch of places and do a bunch of things. She didn't actually plan this, but this is just how it worked out. She was going, doing things for much of the time that I was potty training.
She didn't plan.
Right, right. Yeah. So I took a vacation day to do this, right? And he said, I'm the only guy he knows who has taken a vacation day. And on the vacation request, I put that it's to, you know, potty train my daughter. And so he told me that my man card was revoked. What I wish I would have said, you know, you always have those moments where you're like, oh yeah, I should have said this. Well, I should have said, well, at least give me the dad of the year card, right?
Right.
Because that's pretty epic. But I'm so pumped because it was super awesome. Like one of these like proud dad moments. when Kyrea went on the potty the first time. She was like, I did it. I'm doing it. It was super awesome. And she's killing it. She's pooping and peeing on the potty. And if that weirds you out, then you must not be a dad.
Yeah. You should have turned the podcast off a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
We warned you.
Yeah. No, yeah. You can still listen.
She's got an awesome potty, though. Like
that's super awesome.
She puts a little lever down.
It's like, yeah.
And it's like, yeah. And it cheers and claps and everything else.
Yep.
Yeah. Our son's just puts the urine all over the floor.
Here's the trick. I give her candy every time she goes on the potty.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, I did it. Candy.
Candy? Please?
Candy?
No. I did
chocolate?
It.
Yay.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Being a dad is super awesome.
It really is. And I tell you what, man, one of the other things, being a dad, that you don't realize it until your kids start getting a little bit older and a little bit wiser. So I got really proud. You know, we got Emma, we found out is super good at soccer.
Oh, yeah.
And then we come home, and Parker, he's doing really well also. His second try at it. This is her first time. She's just killing it.
She's doing like those bicycle kick back flip things.
She's practicing flips out on the trampoline, so she might be able to do it. So we'll see. She is a competitor.
Yeah.
So she always got in trouble at school because she had to be first. And actually the teacher, when she was in first grade, said she jumps over backpacks and chairs to be first and like stiff arms people. So I'm like, Emma, you gotta chill. Well, before her first soccer game, I told her, I said, hey, remember all those times I told you to chill? Don't. I was like, this is it. Like,
you
go.
Just unleash the beast.
Unleash the beast. Like, oh my, what have I created? So it was so awesome watching both of them too play and grow into kind of their personalities and who they are. But then we got home too and we saw Emma. She got a letter from the school district, did her national testing. And she tested 95th percentile in reading in the country and like gifted. And so we're going to look at these classes.
Genius athlete.
She's
in the house.
She's awesome. She's good.
Yeah.
I think she takes after mom. No.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah. She is extremely gifted. And she actually, the wisdom, man, we lost an amazing little boy in our family a couple weeks ago. And our family, I mean the entire community,
mm-hmm.
Not specifically blood, but
yeah,
but the blood of the lamb, our family. And her response, man, we weren't sure what, because the same age, he was 7. And
yeah,
you told her and you said, hey, you know, he passed away. And her response was, well, I guess God just needed another angel. And it's like, man, like, you worry about telling your kid those types of things.
Yeah.
And then the shock and awe that comes back at their response to what God speaks through them.
Yeah. Because you find that they handle it better than you do.
Right. I'm an emotional guy. I got made fun of by pretty much all the pastors and everybody because I cried on stage like 2 weeks ago.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. I was talking about my dad.
It was very moving.
He passed away.
It was very moving. Yeah.
But no, it was actually, yeah, Jay told me.
But then
me not
you didn't cry a second.
I know, because
we have to do it twice.
Yeah, because, yeah. So
you
mean.
Needed some acting skills on that one.
Yeah, I know, right? I needed to like have tweezers in my pocket and pinch my leg. Jay told me, hey, don't cry this time.
I shouldn't listen to him.
I know, I shouldn't have, but I went up there and then after.
We should totally have Jay on the podcast sometime.
Definitely should. He's an awesome dude. Yeah.
Yeah, make fun of him.
Well, after I got done talking the second time, I went up to him and I said, I didn't cry for you. And so he just kind of laughed and walked away. But no, like that wisdom, man, of a 7-year-old. And then later on, so we had the celebration of life and stuff, and talked to Emma and Emma and Parker, and they were all having a conversation as far as like salvation and heaven and the reward of eternal life. Well. You don't realize how much somebody touches your kid's life and how much Jesus is working through somebody to teach them. And her response is, well, maybe if we all can just live a little more like him, we can have heaven also. And so that's just fantastic. And one, it's a kudos to his parents to raise him like that. And
who adopted him, who was a foster child.
Right.
Yeah.
And there is no aging out there. He lives eternally with our Father. And then the lies that a 7-year-old touched that were quadruple, 6 times 8, like it's unfathomable.
Yeah.
Because that's our God.
Yeah.
That's and boss mode right there.
For sure. And to bring this all the way around and to tie a nice bow on it, he exhibited what it looks like to live a selfless life.
Right.
A life that was focused on others and not focused on himself. I mean, he wanted to go through a certain treatment because he wanted to learn what it was like to go through it so he could help others who were about to go through it. He knew that likely that was only going to buy him some time and it was going to be painful and hard. But he wanted to do that because he was thinking about somebody else. And in a culture and in a time where more and more people think about themselves more than they think about others, we need to, as the body of Christ, take on his example and to lift others up above ourselves so that they could see that Jesus really is real and we're really serious about this. And I think if we could do that, man, I think people would really see that this whole Jesus thing is for real.
Yeah.
And it's totally against everything else that this culture is throwing at us. And to me, it's a good place to be.
Absolutely.
The world is a battleground. It is today and always has been. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Spit Happens podcast. I hope we shed some light on the struggles we're dealing with today. And if you've got some ideas, topics, or some feedback, shoot us an email at spithappenspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher and on iTunes. Leave us a review or a rating.